Hello, Geekscapists. Welcome to a brand new Geekscape episode. I'm Jonathan London, if this is your first Geekscape, and I've been hosting this show for the last 13 years, which sounds insane. I remember back when podcasts started, and I had to edit an RSS feed and learn HTML to make one of these oldie podcasts. But now we're in 2019, and if this is your first Geekscape, welcome. We talk movies, video games, comic books, pop culture. That's what we've been doing this whole time. And if this is not your first Geekscape, well, I guess we did something right, so thank you for coming back. And because we did something right, it would be really awesome if you went on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use to listen to this show and you leave us 5 stars, or maybe hit that share button, recommend it to your friends. That'd be really awesome. I also want to know how many of you do things like, say, Alexa, play Geekscape, because we are on all those smart devices and all of the smart speakers. So I just kind of want to know. Shoot me an email, jonathan@geekscape.net, and let me know if that's how you listen to Geekscape off of whatever podcatcher you choose. Keep spreading the love. I'm here with a good friend of mine who I've just met for the first time in person today. But we've actually been friends for a very long time. Online, and we're going to work our way back through it, but he's the founder of Zydex PCs, and what they do is they build custom gaming PCs, really high-powered custom gaming PCs that are really kick-ass. And he's my friend Zach Shutt. He's right here.
Hey, man. How's it going?
And he's not a stranger to podcasts. I actually listened to a podcast he was on that was pretty fascinating about his ancestry.
Oh, yeah.
It's where I learned you were adopted.
Yeah, adopted.
And I learned a lot about you. But Zach and I know each other from... We got to work this back, because okay. I think there's a couple different ways that we know each other.
Okay.
Were you part of that whole AbsolutePunk.net scene?
I was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So AbsolutePunk.net started as like a Blink-182 fan site that became a pop punk fan site.
I had no idea that's how it started.
Yeah. The dude who started AbsolutePunk.net, which I don't even think, I don't know if it's around anymore. But he started as a Blink-182 fan site.
Oh.
And when it became AbsolutePunk.net, it was a good place to get news on bands that I liked.
Sure.
And I don't know if you were a contributor to it or you were just on the forums a lot or the whatever
it was.
So we started talking, and I think in talking there, when Facebook started popping up somewhere in 2006, 2005, we became friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then through just being friends on Facebook, I look up, and not only I know that you appreciate the same music I like,
sure,
but you're a jazz fan. You're a fan of the NBA basketball team, the National Basketball Association team, the Utah Jazz.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There are not a lot of Utah Jazz fans.
Well, I'm in Utah.
You're in Utah.
You don't have an excuse.
No, in LA, there's definitely not a lot of them. I do see them at Clippers games. I do see them at Lakers games, because obviously LA has a lot of people coming to LA and moving to LA from all over the world. So we do get fans of different teams, but Laker fans just aren't effing loyal.
Sure.
They're probably the most bandwagon team in the league. So we had a couple things in common. We were fans of the same kind of music. We were fans of the same, arguably the least popular team in the NBA.
Sure.
We were rabid fans of theirs. And then you're also a geek. You started a fucking custom PC, PC company.
That's about as geeky as it gets. We're pretty close.
Geeky as it gets. So, Zach, I don't even know where to start with this thing, but you're here for
E3. Yeah, so all of our systems, so we have 200 systems on lease right now at E3 at Borderlands 3 booth. So Borderlands 3 coming out, and I think it's September.
Yeah.
And they're previewing the game on all Zydex custom PCs. So we're here representing and, you know, helping people with the game, and it's exciting.
But you've played the game?
Yeah. I played 3 hours on the release day, on the, like, press invitational day, and it was fun. Yeah.
How is it different than Borderlands 1, 2, Borderlands the Handsome Boy Collection, or whatever?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Handsome Boy Collection.
Like, how is it different than any of that stuff?
Well, I think they've added a lot to it in terms of, like, not just weapons. They were saying, like, there's something like 30,000 different sound bits for weapons. So they've gone through and they've, like, custom created all these different, just the noise library alone is 200 times as big.
Wow.
So you know, with that comes new weapons and new gear and things. So there's that piece. And then the mechanics themselves, they've added like vaulting and things that didn't exist in previous Borderlands editions. So it's more complete.
But, okay, so walk me through it. You're one of the co-founders of Zydex. When did you guys start Zydex? Like, and why? Because listening to you, I know that as a kid, you started building PCs.
Yeah, I did.
In middle school?
Yeah, in middle school. Yeah, so I built PCs my whole life. And then when I turned 16, 17, I worked in radio, actually. Mm-hmm. So I was a producer, and then I did a little afternoon show. And then in 2013, as most radio careers, how it ends. You know, it's tough finding a new gig. Without having to move. So I said, you know, let me go back to what I did when I was a kid, which is build custom computers.
When did you stop building custom computers?
It was kind of when I went on this kick. I was like, man, I really want to be a radio host.
I'll tell you right now, the last computer I built was probably a Pentium 2.
Yeah.
And okay. That was late 90s.
Yeah.
And I built it so I could play, like, I think Dark Forces 2.
Oh.
I was excited about Dark Forces 2 because it had, that was Jedi Knight, Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, because it had, like, the first, like, live action. That and Rebel Assault 2 had, like, the first live action stuff shot in the Star Wars universe before the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
So I built a Pentium 2 for it.
Just to play that.
Yeah, and, like, the Wing Commander games that were CD-ROM based. And a lot of the CD-ROM games in the late 90s required a little bit of a boost on the computer, and the Pentium 2 was the way to go.
Yep.
So I think I had a Pentium 2 through at least freshman year of college that I'd built.
I feel like everyone's, like, built or had a hand in building a PC or like repairing it. So I feel like everyone has like some level of awareness, but for me it was just like I loved it and customizing it too. So like with Zydex, our systems aren't just built, you know, your classic PC. We do water cooled systems with like custom hardline tubing. Like we get real nerdy with it, man. Like we're putting water in these things.
So wait, let's start it off, because you're doing this stuff, and then you stopped getting into radio.
Yeah.
You were like, okay, this industry of the future, I want to go into the old-timey radio.
Yeah, because I was like, I was enamored with like local hosts, and I love the way they put together shows and segments.
This is in Salt Lake.
Salt Lake, yeah.
You grew up in Salt Lake City.
I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't have done both.
Could have, for sure. But when you start a business, I've found, if you're not 100% in, the results will
catch
look
up.
Like like you weren't all in. So
this is 2013.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Even with a face for radio, it didn't work.
It didn't work out.
You're very handsome. He's like, I know this is audio format. He's a very good looking man. He's a movie star. You should have moved to LA. And so you were like, let's go back. How long had it been since you built PCs?
Oh, it'd probably been like, I took like probably 5 years off and I didn't really build PCs. I was just kind of pursuing this, you know, radio thing. And
so it wasn't too long.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't crazy, but yeah, 5 years.
Because like you were, I mean, Geekscape was already around.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When you stopped building PCs.
Yeah.
It was 2005, 2006 when you started podcasting. You stopped building PCs in 2008.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Like, what level of building PCs were you at in 2008 when you were like, Dad, I don't think I'm going to practice hamster style anymore? Like, at what point were you like put that away? Like, at what point were you at? How good were your PCs then?
I mean, they were awesome. I mean, it was nowhere near what we do today. And I think a lot of people are like, you know, you started Zydex, you must be great at building computers. And dude, honestly, I'm not that good. And that's why we have great people that work for Zydex.
Right.
Because we come up with a schematic and a plan that we know is going to work. And then we have people that are just amazing.
You're just well-researched. You're very passionate about knowing what's out there.
Great at marketing. I'm fantastic at marketing. So those are the areas I'm strongest at, generally speaking, just like creating a brand. Mm-hmm. And an identity for it.
So talk to me about that, because you told a really nice story when you were on the podcast asking about you being adopted, about your mom.
Yeah.
Your late mom is really, I mean, that's heartbreaking stuff. And she paid for you to go into a competition.
Yeah.
That was a PC building.
It was PC building. So I was in a class. It was like a tech class.
What grade was this?
This was eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade. It was a tech class. And one of the competitions was, it was like building a custom computer, and then you enter it into a competition, compete against other schools.
In the city.
And then on a national level. So I had won locally, Like top, number one, gold medal. You built the best computer. Great job.
What was the requirements of building the computer?
It was just like, here's the specs. Here's what it needs to play. And then based on the overclocking, if you got it to a certain level, the highest level, you would essentially win.
So it needed to be fast.
Yeah. So mine fit that bill.
And you were in the eighth grade?
I was in the eighth grade. And it qualified me to go to this national competition. I didn't even bring it up to my parents because I'm like, dude, there's no way they can afford this. Like, I'm not even going to tell them that I, you know, could go to Chicago.
It was in Chicago.
Yeah, because I'm like, because it's not going to happen. Because, you know, just, I knew we couldn't afford it.
Well, were any of your friends going? No, you were the one that
won. No, it was just me, yeah. So I was just being a bunch of strangers.
And you're a kid. Yeah. Were the people in the competition all your age, or were there some older people?
It was relatively, like, maybe give or take a couple grades, but it was relatively the same age, yeah.
And they're all going to go to Chicago from all the different regions.
Yep, yep.
And you didn't even bring it up.
No, because I was like, oh, there's no way my parents can afford this. And, you know, I just, yeah, I didn't think it was happening. It was a monetary thing. And then my teacher was like, dude, you have to do this. You have to go and you have to compete because you do good work. And so he called my parents without me knowing. And was like, hey, like, did you not want Zach to go on this trip? And they're like, what trip? I don't even know what you're talking about. And he's like, yeah, we need like $500 so we can go, you know, Chicago and compete. And they made that happen. And they were like, yeah, 100%. Like, whatever it takes. Like, my parents got the money together to do it. They're like, this is way more important than anything else. Like, you have to do this. This is very, like, you need to do this.
We threw it away for a radio career.
Yeah, what an asshole.
They're sacrificed. They're sacrificed.
They're like, we sent you to Chicago and you want to be back selling pop songs on the radio?
You want to be Carson Daly. That's just great. So you go to Chicago. You're 14 years old.
Yep.
You go to Chicago. How'd you do there?
Good. I got, I think it was second in the
Your
region.
Age group, yeah.
In the region, yeah. And then nationally, I didn't win.
It's okay. I went to the Nintendo Championships and I crapped out and I ended up with a T-shirt.
There you go.
They're like, here's your T-shirt and a degree from Mario, signed
by Mario.
Signed by Mario signed it. It says right there on the diploma for having competed that Mario signed it, and I will frame it. I have it. I know exactly where it is, and it will be framed. Okay, so then you go through high school. College, is computer still cool? Or,
well, yeah, so with college I was like, I'll try out the community college, and I went for a semester and that was it. I was like, not my thing. Yeah.
What was it about college that you went into?
I don't know. I wanted to do stuff that I wanted to do. And, you know, in college and life in general, obviously you can't pick everything you need to do, but I like had no interest in going to classes that I didn't, you know, care about.
Were you a bad student in high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're such a smart dude, and you're so social. It doesn't seem like you're a burnout.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't seem like you're a, what do they call those kids?
My ADD is crazy, though.
Yeah, you're like me.
Like, I'm like, dude, I can't focus on this. I don't like this. I don't want to do it. You know. But, yeah, I was not a good student. Just didn't pay attention.
So college was not your thing. I liked college because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm super hungry. So it kind of didn't matter that I was like, I'm never going to use this ever again.
Right.
I was like, that's really interesting. I was hungry for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But I totally get what you're saying, because I think my older brother was like, you are.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I don't see the point in this.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I want to do, and I'm going to gun it.
Yeah.
And that is be on the radio and trying to be Carson Daly.
Top 10 songs of the week.
Man, there's an alternate universe version of you that definitely should have stayed in school. Hey, helping, kids, how are you? You know you're talking to a trash can on the street corner right now, don't you, Zach? That's alternate reality Zach is doing a radio show for a window of a bunch of people in a restaurant who are like, can you ask that homeless guy to leave right now?
Like, no, top 10 songs coming up.
Hey, how you doing? We're going to buy you some soup, and then you have to go away. That's alternate universe, Zach.
Of course.
He's still out there.
He's out there.
He's out there. So post-college, how did your parents feel about that? Like, after being like, listen, what, they supported you still? They weren't like,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like you're into this college thing.
Yeah, no, because like, and they didn't pay for any of my college. It was all on me. So,
right.
You know, they're like, okay, well, if you don't want to do it, that's cool. As long as you get a job, you know, you don't.
What was the job?
So I worked at Best Buy for a while, kind of right after that. Worked at Best Buy, and then started the PC building not too far after that, because it was just like not happening.
And it's right there.
Yeah. 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 And it's like, so, because I always looked at it, I'm like, oh, I'm good at that already. I don't, like, I want to do something that I can get better at.
But were you selling the PCs when you worked at the Best Buy? Were you building them and then selling them after to 2008?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, not commercially. It was like friends and family type stuff.
But. Sure, but they would pay for the parts and maybe give you a little extra scratch to be like,
20 bucks or something.
Did you hear about Zach? I think he's going to ruin his life.
He's going into radio.
Did you hear about Zach? What can we do? Let's give him an extra $200 to build this PC. Okay, like an extra $200 just to so he can get himself something to eat. Were you living at home or were you living
I moved out immediately when I was 18, yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. You people have done everything for me. I can't take it anymore.
You guys took great care of me. I'm out.
Yeah, isn't that what happens, though?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe not with the millennial generation, but like for us, it was like, I cannot wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then you get out and you're like, oh, this is not fun at all. I can totally see why people live with their parents through the ages of 40.
No kidding.
So it was important for you to be on your own, but it was rough. You do the Best Buy thing, and then you do the PC building thing. You're kind of piecing things together, and then you're like, hey, maybe I should do this radio thing. Yeah, radio's dying.
Yep.
2013.
Yeah.
How do you start putting Zydex together?
So it was sourcing inventory from, like, we were buying stuff off Amazon.
Sure. That sounds like some Tim Ferriss shit, right?
Yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, like, Tim Ferriss is always, like, saying, you know, you order things online and then you sell them out of your apartment.
Yeah.
And you know, I think he sold, like, vitamins and supplements and stuff like that. And that's what he was doing early on to try and be independent.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the same concept. Buy stuff on Amazon, put it together for people. I built the site where you configure your system, Zydex.com. I built that engine behind it. And then when it was ready, we turned it on, see if we would get any orders. And our first day, we got one order from someone who worked at Fujifilm. That was Michael, worked at Fujifilm, and called in. And he's like, hey, I'm trying to buy on the site, and this thing's broke. I can't put in my order. And I'm like, damn it, the site's not working. I'm like, let's just do this over the phone.
Did you know how to program a website?
I did, yeah. Yeah, because I had always been like,
I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to ask you again, because clearly Michael disagrees. Did you know how to?
Yeah.
What'd you build
launch
it
days
with?
Are interesting.
Were you doing like Wix.com?
No,
like,
what were you doing? It was all custom, dude. All custom PHP, and that's why it broke.
That's why it broke.
However, the redeeming part of the story is, even though it broke, got my first order. Took it in over the phone.
You took Michael's order over the phone.
Took his order over the phone. He's like, cool, man, how do I pay? I thought he was pranking me, because I'm like, dude, there's no way we're getting a customer first day.
And that was first day that you threw up the website.
Yeah.
How did you market that website?
Google Ads.
Google Ads.
Yeah.
Google Ads is the way to go, I'm hearing. It's like, you got to buy the Google Ads.
Yeah. Because it's interest-based, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when someone's looking up gaming PC and they see an ad, like, their intent is to buy a gaming PC.
Right.
So it's just a very direct form of advertising that's based on need currently.
You're literally following the Tim Ferriss model of all this stuff. Is that something you read?
Yeah.
You read the 4-hour work week and you were like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Tools of Titans that came out, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you bought, how much did you spend on those Google ads in the early days?
Like $100 a day if we had $100.
But where did that where did that come from?
Well, just, you know, you can come with $100.
Scratching, right.
Yeah,
you're like,
find a shoebox,
it's going on the card.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're using credit cards at this point. How many people are doing the Zydex thing at that point?
Customer-wise?
No.
Just one.
It's just you.
Uh-huh.
It's you making a website.
And doing support and building it and shipping it.
How long does it take you to build a computer back then?
Oh, it's like 30 minutes.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
But there's not a whole lot of customization, because then because you'd eat up a bunch of time with hunting and pecking and searching and rewiring and learning.
And those are the basic systems. It's obviously not.
Yeah, you were basic. But, you probably had a handful of options.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And within those options, you could probably throw it together. Yeah, in 30 minutes. Sure. It's mainly planting and screwing them together.
Yeah, that wasn't the hard part. The hard part was putting it in a box
and shipping it.
Yeah, because I'm terrible. I'm just like, well, let's just throw it in a box, you know. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, how do you package stuff? I build PCs. I don't know what I'm doing.
But didn't you order computers before, and they, or even send them back to get fixed? And you saw how the packaging was.
They would make it back there most of the time.
Yeah, but when they're sent to you, you saw how they were packaged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You didn't try and replicate that process?
But that whole it's something I'm not good at, like packaging something up and taking that time. No. There is a lot that goes into it. Because once it's fully assembled, when you get components, they're protected by custom form.
Sure.
When you assemble a system, you have a bunch of parts in there now that are able to knock around during shipment. So there's a couple things you do. You put in like foam.
Sure. Yeah.
So you open up the window.
I would think foam would be the first.
Put in foam, like custom fitted foam.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Okay.
I don't know. So
just cramming it full of peanuts?
Yeah, no, there's like nothing in there.
Oh shit!
So it's shipped, like there's padding around the system, but inside,
but in the side you've got these cards that are sitting in the slots, and those slots aren't.
Like, I don't know.
Those slots aren't built to.
So what we did, and this is what you do, is you buy a competitor system, and you ship it to your house. You're like, cool, how'd they do that?
Okay.
And you just replicate that. But you know, first time around, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
So. You bought the Google Ads as soon as the website went up.
Yeah.
You set the website up. You're like, this is going to work. I programmed it myself.
It should be fine.
I made this in PHP myself. And then you flip the switch, and then immediately you dump 100 into Google Ads. Mm-hmm. And you say, bring on the money. How soon after you hit go on the Google Ads? A day?
It was that day.
Michael hits you up.
It was that day, which was crazy to me. I'm like, dude, that's nuts. You can launch a site. This is my first time doing that, you know, on that scale. It's like, you can launch a site selling a product and have customers like that day. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
And so how much did he spend?
Like just on ads?
No. How much did he spend, Michael?
Oh, it was like $2,000. Yeah.
So Michael spends $2,000. You can buy ads for 20.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's awesome.
You just bought almost a month of ads.
Yeah.
What do you think the turnaround was on how much you were spending on the pieces and how much you were charging somebody like Michael on the pieces?
Yeah,
like
it's usually like 20%. 20%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting rich. This is really scary.
No, it's a grind for sure.
That is really scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're expensive things too.
So those are expensive things. So your window of failure was really low, dude.
Yep.
You. Oof. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. That is some scary stuff. Day two, what happens?
We didn't get a sale. Day two, and I'm like, oh shit, because he spent another $100. I'm like, maybe that was a fluke.
Now that window's getting shorter.
Day three comes around, you sell one. You're like, okay, this is cool. Because the second one's really more important than the first. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because like, you're like, oh, cool. Proof of concept's awesome, but can we repeat it?
So did the website work then?
Yeah, it worked.
You fixed it immediately. After you got off the phone with Michael, you were like, let me figure out what was going on here.
Let's do some debugging. Yeah.
Okay. So then now the website works.
Yeah.
When did you see an increase in volume from like one a day? When did things kind of start being like, okay, this is going to happen?
It was probably like month three or four. Like honestly, to where it was.
So
like,
you're selling a computer every other day.
Yeah, pretty much.
About every other day, you're selling a computer.
If we sold one, we were stoked. We're
like, there's no we. Yeah. It was you by yourself.
I don't like to use that because the company has matured.
I know, but you didn't pick up another employee until when?
Probably like 6 months, something like that.
But 3 or 4 months in, you started scaling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did that scale look like? Did it go to two or did it go to five?
No, it was just like maybe you get two in a day, you know, maybe you get three.
Or maybe you start to get one every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was never that consistent. It was like, you know, we'd have two, zero,
one. And are the PCs starting to get a little different, like more diverse and
not at that what point. You're doing. Like we kept it really tight, really simple, small product mix for a while, probably like 2 years, legitimately, just because we want to keep it simple.
So why didn't anybody just go somewhere else? Well, because like, wasn't Alienware big around that time and all this stuff? And people were people mainly going for gaming PCs? Mm-hmm. That was the main thing.
Yeah, all gaming PCs.
And so maybe that helped your Google Ads because it really gave you a niche on those Google Ads that you were like, I'm only going to show up in gaming.
Right. Across. But even then, there's, you know, 10 competitors that
way. I know.
Yeah.
Especially with the big dogs like an Alienware. Yeah.
And that's why I think the way we differentiated ourselves is in our marketing, like in our videos and things like that. We noticed a lot of our competitors were making ads that were just dubstep lighting.
Yeah.
And let's show off this
sleek,
PC.
Sleek PCs.
Which is cool, but we tried to put a human element in. We tried to do funny stuff. We tried to like make it more lifestyle based, whatever that means. And less, I don't know, generic.
When did you start doing the videos?
I was in them from day one because it's the only one.
But was it, did you start the videos day one?
Yeah, yeah, they were terrible. Yeah, they were awful.
We're still making those videos.
Until this day.
No, the boys at Horror Movie Night did a live stream of their horror podcast the other day, and I was like, it just was like three heads like talking about a fucking horror movie. And I sat through it because we were doing a YouTube live and there were fans on there. And I was like, this looks like digital. Like, this looks like visual death. This is not good.
Right, right. It's tough to watch stuff like that. But.
And where were you posting those videos?
It was like YouTube.
Yeah.
Or we'd run YouTube ads, which was good.
The YouTube ads were good to get people to watch the videos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need them.
I'm guessing nobody's paying for YouTube ads back in 2013.
No. Not like, a lot of people.
You guys were the only ones pumping your own videos.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because it was all category-based. If you're watching a video about building a gaming PC, I want to show you my video. You know,
right.
Was the goal there.
So you're pumping the videos.
Yeah.
Well, how much more is that?
I mean, it was probably like $20 a day, so we're at like $120, something like that.
You know. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not
okay. So you're working $120 a day. You got to start making $2,000 every other day. So, okay, let me do the math. Hold on. I can do this. So every day he's making $1,000. But listen, that $1,000, he's really only making $200 because he's only doing a 20% Oscar. So he's making roughly $200 a day, spending $120 of it. Holy shit, he's making $80 a day. This sounds horrid. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're onto something.
You are making about $80 a day for months.
And you got to pay for hosting.
And rent.
And rent.
And everything.
So you're not making...
And some of your pieces are sitting on a shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were on the credit cards.
Hard.
Hard credit cards.
Yeah.
This scares the shit out of me.
It's also kind of thrilling.
Dude, totally.
In a sick way, you know what I mean?
Totally. So, guys, this is only 6 years ago, and now Zydex is, would you say we're one of the leaders in...
Yeah, we're in the top, I think, two or three now.
Top two or three in building custom gaming PCs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, guys, 6 years he's done this. First 6 months by yourself. Mm-hmm. Why'd you bring on that first employee?
Just wanted, my focus, like I said, is typically marketing. That's what I'm really good at. So,
but they're the shitty videos.
Mm-hmm. Yep, shitty. Well,
you're making the shitty videos once a day?
I'm not good at shooting them. I've got someone to do that.
Well, he's got, hey, Josh, how are you? Josh's video guy's here now. And you got somebody now, but back then you're just setting up like a camera by yourself. And shooting.
But it was working. I mean, it may have been shitty, but I mean,
it was working.
Yeah. So I wanted to focus more on that. So you hire someone to do PC builds and support and things like that.
What's that first employee doing?
PC builds and customer support. Yep.
So they're mainly doing most of the work at this point.
Of building the systems, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you're making the bad videos.
I'm making the bad videos.
A lot of
it's like, how do we stop ordering from Amazon? Well, we got to talk to vendors. We have to build relationships. We need to...
Can't even with that area. Tell me
it's
again.
A lot of shit. Yeah. So instead of buying from Amazon.
Yes. You go directly to the
people. And that takes relationship building and things like that. So a lot of it was moving away from doing the actual building of systems to creating relationships with other companies.
Yeah. So you're not paying whatever they're getting. Like, because Amazon's making whatever the pieces are. They're taking their chunk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cut Amazon out.
Yeah. Cut them out.
Okay. And did you fix the website even more? Did you work on the website? Did the website get better?
The website's doing okay at this point. Okay. It took 6 months, but yeah.
So the question is, because we do a lot of video gaming talk, and is E3, are you still playing games for all this stuff?
Yeah, like, honestly, I have just started getting back into having enough time to play games. Like,
because you were scraping hard in those first bits of Zydex, and then I think what was the, like, how many years in did it just turn into a swell? Is it a swell?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, what? How early on were you like, oh shit?
Oh, like 2 years.
That's really good. Did you have to go out to, did you put a business plan together and have to go bring in some investment to scale? But you had the 2 years of history that you could then turn to an investor and say, hey, for 2 years, look how we've been growing. Pump us full of cash and we'll get really aggressive with this. And then how many people did you bring on?
One.
I was expecting you to say 20.
Oh, employees or investors?
Employees.
One investor. And now we're at 100 now, and we were at 20 to 30.
Yeah.
Probably.
My prediction was going to be 20.
Yeah.
So when you got that first influx of cash, you were like, let's bring 20 people in.
Yeah, let's sing. It wasn't 20 all at once.
I know.
At that point, we're already at 10 or something. So, but yeah, we definitely invested in personnel.
And what are you working out of? You're still at a warehouse?
At a warehouse.
At a warehouse.
Yeah, a little warehouse, a little shop.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's insane. Think about it, and you're like, damn.
That's insane.
Yeah. But it's cool.
It is totally cool. I was like, oh, that's cool. My friend Zach builds PCs. And then I was sitting at, 2 years ago, I was sitting at Burbank Airport in September, and I was flying, connecting through Salt Lake City to fly to Austin. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do.
Because I missed my flight in Salt Lake City, and I spent the night in Salt Lake City Airport. And I was like, well, this stinks, but my flight is so early that my new flight is so early that I'm not going to bother anybody. And I remember just hanging out at the Salt Lake City Airport. But at Burbank, I sat waiting for the flight with Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
And we had met at a party earlier that year. And Will and I were talking for about 30 minutes. And Will was on his way to Salt Lake City Fan Expo, where you presented him with a ZX PC.
Yeah.
So while I'm sitting there, I got to Austin, and I'm checking out your Facebook or your Twitter or something, and there it is, you presenting Will Wheaton PC. I was like, I just saw him. I just saw him yesterday.
That was a cool experience, man. Because, I'm never starstruck. When I met him, I was like, oh my gosh.
Really?
Yeah. They let a kid fly the Enterprise.
They did. He was a smart kid.
But they let a kid. And for me, I was like, man, that's crazy.
But
as a kid,
I was like, I didn't know you. So you were a big Star Trek guy?
Oh, dude, yeah.
That was your show?
Oh, yeah. TNG, for sure. Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a geek? I know you were doing the PC thing, but and I know we talked about how much geekier can it be than custom PC and stuff like that, but what were you doing outside of PC? What led you to PC gaming? What were your PC games?
Yeah, StarCraft was my first one.
But you and Gordon Hayward.
Me and Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm. I think, what year was StarCraft big? Because I was already out of college, I think, by that point.
That's a good question.
Late 90s?
Yeah.
Okay, late 90s, I was in high school.
98, 99.
Yeah. I was in college.
Yeah.
I wasn't affording no computers. Dude, I think I was maybe playing TIE Fighter versus X-Wing.
That's good.
I think the PC games that I was playing was, they were still making the late stage Monkey Island games. Like, I remember Monkey Island 4 came out my senior year in Penn. I was playing a lot of emulators, crap ton of emulators.
Okay.
And for sure, TIE Fighter versus X-Wing and that, and like those things. It was before Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay.
And the prequels hadn't totally put a bad taste in my mouth yet. So by the time I got to grad school, I think the last PC games I played was City of Heroes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The two City of Heroes games, I think, were the last PC games I played, and I played them in grad school.
Well, you're playing good games.
I loved those City of Heroes games. Those City of Heroes games were fucking awesome. And I heard that there's a new City of Heroes game coming out.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was fan-started. I think fans put together a new City of Heroes game. Somebody just posted it on my. Somebody just sent me this information. Let me see. Let me see what they wrote, because if there's a new City of Heroes game, it might actually get me back into it. Let me see. City of Heroes Homecoming comes back via fans. Yeah. Uh-huh. So there's a new City of Heroes game called City of Heroes Homecoming, and fans have put it back together. Which is pretty insane. I don't know if it's official or not, but Geekscapists, if you guys are all about superheroes and PC gaming, it was a pretty awesome team management action game called City of Heroes, and I fucking loved it. But that was early. That was like, Zach, that was over 15 years ago.
Well, this will get you back into PC gaming. This is all it takes. New City of Heroes. You're back in, dude.
That would do it. Actually, I'm seeing that, like, speaking of Star Wars, LucasArts is back. My friend Craig Derrick works back over at LucasArts that we met at a Monkey Island meetup at Comic-Con a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
And I scared the shit out of him because I'm so into Monkey Island. And when LucasArts got brought back, because I guess the relationship with EA post Battlefront, you know, remember the whole controversy with Battlefront and all that stuff? I guess they, you know, the Star Wars franchise, whoever's in control of that over at Disney, was in love with the treatment over at EA. And they brought back LucasArts to start doing some, I guess, shepherding of their video game components. And I think Craig's back working with them. He was the lead, the project lead on the Monkey Island Special Editions. He was on that 1313 or whatever game that got canned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was one of the project leads over there. But I just saw him post something that there was a big announcement at the PC show today at E3 that they're doing special edition bundles of a lot of the old, going all the way back, Star Wars games.
Wow.
Like Super Star Wars for the Super Nintendo, Pod Racing.
Oh, yeah. Pod Racing was great.
Shadows of the Empire, N64, Knights of the Old Republic, all that stuff is all getting a nice spit shine, and it's all getting packaged, and it's all getting brought back out
at
least PC, but I'm guessing there's console versions of it too. Yeah. It's pretty insane, dude.
Wow. I'm down with the TIE Fighter stuff. That's
I loved that stuff because Wing Commander was my big game.
Oh, okay.
Because Chris Roberts was from Austin. And growing up in Austin, there was nothing bigger than Origin.
Yeah.
And Lord British, I just wanted to meet Lord British. I wanted to hang out with Chris Roberts. I wanted to, like, Ultima was my RPG, right? Because that's local. It's Austin, sure. The heroes. And then that gets you into Origin. And then Origin comes out with a space shooter. And so I got really into Wing Commander. And I remember Lord British, right? Richard Garriott, who created Ultima, would have these Democratic Party fundraisers at his house. His house was a fucking castle. And it had trap doors and all this cool stuff. Like, the dude was a giant kid. And if you guys follow Richard Garriott on Twitter or anything, you'll see that he's, like, a pretty cool guy who tries a lot of stuff out. You know, he's building this massive, you know, open world, not unlike Chris Roberts. Chris Roberts is building another, like, Wing Commander-type open world that's, like, all space privateering and stuff like that. But it's on PC. I don't play it. But I remember my dad once donated enough money to go to Richard Garriott's house.
Oh, and play at the trapdoors.
And I went with him. And the dude had like a Lamborghini and a Ferrari in his driveway, and the license plates were Ultima and Origin.
That's badass.
Yeah, and the dude literally lived in a castle. It had a parapet, it had a catwalk, it had like all this cool stuff. There was a pool that you like could was outside of the house and inside the house, and if you swam under, you could get into the house.
What?
It had a wall that would come down and like seal it off.
That's awesome.
The dude had his. I mean, he was a big kid.
Yeah.
And so his whole house was like a freaking magic castle.
It's incredible.
Amazing.
Huh.
And those were like my guys.
Yeah.
So going into college, when I slowly the pocketbook of a college student and the time of a college student keeps you from playing PCs. That's where I started drifting away from it.
Mm.
What was your stuff? Did you ever play consoles? Because obviously the consoles are what you end up playing. What were your deals?
Yeah, so first console that I had was Super Nintendo. That's kind of where I started. And just I was super into Mega Man. Like that was my jam. Super into Mega Man. And then moved into PC and did StarCraft, Warcraft. Like that was kind of my jump.
You're in the top-down strategy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever play that Dune game? I think it was Dune 2.
No, I hadn't.
It was a real-time strategy game.
Oh.
But RTS was your stuff.
Yeah. I was a fan. And shooters. Like, I later got into CSGO and things like that. Half-Life. Loved Half-Life.
Did you play Syndicate?
No. Syndicate.
Okay, so I think they tried to do a Syndicate redo. So I'm one generation of consoles ahead of you.
Okay.
Right? Because me, it was the original Nintendo, and then I was a Genesis boy and all that stuff. But I think you're roughly, you're almost a decade younger than me. So Syndicate was one of these games that was on PC, and it was a top-down, almost like a Philip K. Dick world.
Mm.
And there are people who had, like, you know, cyberpunk-type modifications. Your eyes could have, like, a heads-up display and stuff like that. But you're basically in charge of a syndicate. And you have your syndicate troops who are these undercover, you know, digitally, mechanically augmented people who could then go and they had missions. And you had to send them out. It was real-time strategy in a way, but it had some action elements where you send them out into the city to sabotage or assassinate or do different things. But it took place in like a, you know, it looked like Blade Runner type world, and it was called Syndicate.
Dude, I'm into that.
And I think you'd so be into it. The other PC game I played was a top-down real-time strategy game that was based on Frank Herbert's Dune, and you could pick any of the houses, and you had to take control of, like, the spice. You had to take, you know, so the map was you had to battle, you know, you had to have all these different types of troop ships and attack ships and defense ships and things like that. And you'd go out into the deserts, right, of Dune. Yeah. You'd go out in the dunes and you'd battle the other houses for control. But the big X factor was when those fucking sandworms come out, they could trash your shit, right? Because it's fucking Dune. Yeah, you have these giant, you know, so like too much activity and things like that could really call the sandworms up and they just start trashing your stuff.
Damn.
Those are the games that were like my big art.
That's cool.
I think if I would have been a little younger, I would have gotten into the whole StarCraft thing.
StarCraft was my jam. Sure.
But you never got into the MMO whenever Warcraft switched to World of.
I did for a little bit, but I was never like super. I mean, I feel like a lot of people played it, but I never was like religious about it like most people.
What did it lose, in your opinion, when it went from Warcraft to World of Warcraft?
I don't know. Like the grindy stuff, I'm not super into. Like I don't like grind going and killing pigs for an hour to get skins and stuff. Like I'm not. I don't like the grindy, put me to work type things. Like I want a challenge. I want to be challenging. And obviously, it gets more challenging as you move. But I didn't like the style of going and grinding and killing pigs for an hour. It just like wasn't fun to me on the online version.
In the social stuff, was that something that was in it? Was there a social element to StarCraft and Warcraft at the time?
Not as much as
obviously,
World of Warcraft Online, but yeah. Like the communities, I don't feel were nearly as intertwined with the game itself, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I didn't feel that way at least.
So now that you're seeing this stuff, and what are you playing now? You're playing
Apex Legends. Yeah, I'm doing the battle royale.
Guys,
stuff.
He's streaming now. How nerdy is that?
I'm streaming now. I'm broadcasting.
What are you streaming on?
My Zydex PC.
No, but like, what's your channel?
Oh, it's on Facebook. It's called Shut TV.
Shut TV.
Yeah, it's really cool.
SHUTT TV.
Yeah. A lot of T's in there, man.
There's a lot of T's. So Shut TV, you can watch you playing Apex.
Yeah.
And then you just started a podcast.
Yeah, it's called Dope Tech, DOPETEK.
Okay.
And we talk about tech, talk about all sorts of nerdy shit, mostly.
Because you start getting that dope tech shit here, it's going to go right over my head. You start talking about like the cooling systems on a freaking PC, or you start talking about the different PC cards or SSDs and this. You start talking about that stuff, I'll kick you right out. You get
not on this show.
No, we only talk about how Captain America went back to bang Peggy, and in doing so, is a fucking asshole.
Fair enough.
We only talk about how, Geekscape, you may have already heard our Dark Phoenix review episode. We only talk about how that movie hurts on a personal level. We do a lot of character talk here. But you guys talk super tech.
Yeah, we go pretty deep.
It's like tech porn.
Yeah, it's tech porn. So if you can't handle that, it's probably not the show for you. It's tech porn for sure.
And it's Dope Tech.
Dope Tech, yeah.
DOPETEK, Geekscape. Just look for that. If you're like sitting here going, Jonathan, let him talk about the cooling systems. If you're saying that right now, you're not going to get it here. You're going to want to go subscribe to Dope Tech. Jonathan, how do I install a fan on my PC?
Wrong place, man.
Nope. You're not going to get here. Sorry.
Fair enough.
No, I'm only installing hatred in my fans right now. I'm not installing
you're
fans.
You're transparent.
Yeah, totally. So the Zydex thing, it's blown up.
Yeah, yep, yep. Doing good.
How far do you see it going? Because now, what do you think the next phase is? And like, you went to E3 and poked around today. You're going to go poke around this week. What are some of the trends? Because obviously you saw that Xbox announced that their next Xbox system is going to be completely backwards compatible through all the generations of Xbox. Yep. But Microsoft has also been one of the front runners on making sure that from console to PC, Microsoft from console to PC to even competitors like the Switch, they want to do cross-platform play.
Yeah.
And we're seeing streaming games as more of a thing now and less sales for, like, what do you see as some of the big trends?
Well, like with Zydex, we're higher end systems. We're not your, like, we don't make Dell computers. I mean, they're higher end. They're intended for gaming. So I think what's going to happen is your lower end, like, consoles are going to switch to, you know, like Stadia is going to be a thing. You've heard about Stadia, the Google.
Explain all of this to
me. Okay, so Stadia
is... I only care that Captain America went back inside to bang Peggy.
I'll help you with this one.
Okay.
So Stadia, I think it's Google? Google? Google's coming out with a new gaming platform that... you'll be able to not have a console. You'll just have their controller and all the processing and games happens over the internet.
And the controller is going to be Wi-Fi compatible?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you won't have a physical console box. Like literally the internet will connect to a remote box that lives at Google and that's your console.
Okay.
So it doesn't require a box. Like you're just streaming games basically.
Right.
So I think that's gonna be a big impact on the lower end of the spectrum.
Okay, talk to me, because it sounds like all that stuff that they tried to do years ago with like Engadget or Engage and all that stuff, where it's like, okay.
Sure.
At some point, don't you think people just like having an Xbox next to their TV or having a Switch or a PS4 next to their
TV?
The
only time that it's going to be a legitimate contender, in my opinion, is when it's just so seamless that you can't tell the difference. Like, a hard box is like, it doesn't, if it works the same, I don't care if there's a hard box, honestly. As long as I can do the same stuff, it reacts just as quick. And that's kind of the barriers, because the internet here in the U.S. isn't as evolved of an infrastructure as, like, you know, from South Korea.
No, and I'm sitting here, like, trying to play Mario Kart a couple days ago, and it's not connecting to the internet. I can still play Mario Kart.
Right.
I just can't play against a bunch of people.
And that's the big barrier.
That's huge. Yeah. That's a huge barrier. Mm-hmm. Do you see that being... Do you really see that being resolved in the next few years?
Depends. Because, like, you've seen Google Fiber pop up and things like that. Fiber's available in certain areas.
I know, in Austin, but, like...
But
it's not a, like, a given.
And that's why that's the biggest barrier to entry for that type of platform.
So Google's creating a platform that they intend to launch soon?
Yeah, I think it's like the end of the year.
By the end of the year, they're launching this platform. What games would be available on this thing?
And it's you're like talking AAA titles.
AAA titles.
Yeah, they'll launch with like Assassin's Creed and things like that, I think.
It's a subscription service.
Yeah.
So what do you do if you are Nintendo and you want to come out with another Wii? Because obviously that service is going to have probably a traditional-looking controller to it.
Yep.
I think you're probably going to have a traditional-looking controller, but... There's not a whole lot of innovation with a traditional-looking controller, especially for things like motion controls or touch play, stuff like that. Like, those are things that are starting to become inherent in a lot of systems.
Right.
Like, and I do love Nintendo. They do usually push the envelope on that stuff. And they're pretty good at integrating them not as gimmicks in at least their first, their main games. They do become gimmicks when the shovelware picks up and starts being like, oh, yeah, let's do that. And I felt like they're gimmicks when their competitors took over.
Right.
When, like, Microsoft and Sony started taking over some of the motion control stuff, it felt really gimmicky because they were playing catch-up. Will there ever... I worry, and it's something that was talked about on our new show, Xbox Game Passengers. It's something that was talked about on... and you should listen to that show, but talking about whether or not we're getting rid of physical media. I do believe we're going to get rid of physical media. Yeah. I don't know if it's not going to be stored locally.
Yeah. You never know. Because I think the direction that these companies are trying to drift in, they look at Steam and they say, man, we wish we could just be a game marketplace rather than develop hardware. Because, frankly, that's where most of the money is. Mm-hmm. And that's why Xbox, you talk about Xbox and Microsoft saying, you know, play games on your PC, play it on your Xbox, cross-platform, who cares? the common denominator, though, is you're still buying the games from us.
Right.
That's what they want. So I think balancing that with how do you, you know, innovate on a hardware level? Do people want a local box? All that stuff is like backseat to them just saying, hey, how can we control the marketplace entirely for game purchases or get a bigger share of that?
Right.
Because you see Steam and you're like, it's crazy. It's a store for games and they're getting a huge cut.
Yeah, they don't even have to come out with the next Portal or the next Half-Life. Guys, I hate to spoil it for you. You already know this. There's not going to be another Half-Life game.
There's no Half-Life 3 coming.
They don't need to spend money on Half-Life 3. They basically allowed another company to take their competitive idea from Team Fortress and make a killing off of it. They let another company steal Team Fortress and make their own Team Fortress, and they make a shit ton of money off of it. They don't care. They're running Steam.
Yep. Steam is the focus, yeah.
I mean, you thought that too when Overwatch came out, and you're like, they just ripped off Team Fortress. It's Team Fortress.
Yeah.
There's got to be a lawsuit here. There's got to be a lawsuit. We kept waiting. We're like, oh my God, there's going to be a lawsuit.
No.
I really don't think Valve gave a shit.
No. They're like, yeah, have fun.
Have fun with your Team Fortress clone.
Deal with people hating elements of your game and giving you feedback. We're just going to make money on selling games. Like, we don't want to deal with fans and all that shit. We just want to sell games.
Wow. It's insane. And you don't want any part of that. You just want to keep making PCs.
Yeah.
How far do you... I mean, when they start... Okay, so that's the low end. The low end is you're going to get your AAA titles. You're going to get your main, you know, introductory titles through a system like that that might be streaming. It might be online only, that kind of thing. Where does that fit Zydax? Like, if that becomes a major part of the gaming marketplace, who's buying high-end custom PCs?
Well, unfortunately, it's good for us that we don't sell lower-end systems, because if you're going to get, like, a Stadia or whatever console, you're already planning on that. Like, you're like, I want to play the controller, I want to play it from my TV, whatever.
Yeah.
With Zydax, our big focus are people who are ingrained in PC gaming, a lot of streamers.
The master race.
So you've heard of them.
I've heard of the PC master race, yes.
Good, I'm glad you've heard the good word.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here today, actually, Jonathan.
You neo-Nazi. Okay.
But I think Zydax on the high end, it facilitates people who want to stream content, who want to like create videos and do processing, high-end processing. It's a different audience than, you know, I'm just someone who wants to pick up a controller and go to town right off the bat.
So Zydax, those people are streamers.
A lot. Not everyone.
Well, but how much of your people do you think are streamers?
I would say that 20 to 30% of people who buy our computers have some intention of streaming or creating content with what they're playing, which is a high number.
Yeah, it is.
To have 30% of your audience be content creators,
right.
So that's pretty insane.
So their main focus is, I'm going to throw this thing up. It's not gonna. I can run games on it. At the same time, I can stream at it.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
That's
a pretty intensive thing for a computer to be doing right now. And I know it's 2019, but these games are huge. Mm-hmm. They require a lot of processing power. And then on top of that, you're doing live streaming, hoping to not have a delay or hiccups.
Right. Yeah. Takes a lot of power.
Yeah. Takes those magic cooling systems and that magic fan
that you can talk about
on Dope Tech. What are the rest of the people doing?
You skew to either end. You either go to the high end or you go to the super low.
Yeah.
And that's why most of our competitors are kind of doing what we're doing, or they're hitting low end and trying to drive volume. So it just depends on what
you're doing. You guys are still growing?
Yeah. Every year.
It's insane.
We've had consistent growth ever since we started, which is rare.
And you're only playing Apex.
Dude, when I play one game.
And what's Apex? Is it one of the battle royale games?
Yeah.
You're not into that? No, what's the difference? Like, why not just play Fortnite or PUBG or any of that stuff? Like, I don't know, battle royale games. Like, I know Fortnite has building.
You have to build, yeah.
And that's annoying as hell.
I can't do it.
That checked me right the hell out. I saw people building, and I was like, nope, we're done. Mm-mm. No, too much work.
Because you're used to first-person shooters.
I just want
to
kill.
You're like, I want to murder someone.
But at that point, like, why isn't just PUBG the leader? Because PUBG is just, I want to kill.
Yeah, that's a flawed... Well, it's not a flawed game. It's a very different game. It's a lot more mechanical, I guess. Like, more serious shooter. Apex is kind of cartoony like Fortnite. You know, there's not, like, fall damage and things like that.
It's huge. People, this thing
took off. It's a great game. And it's and the matches are quick. That's another thing. Okay. PUBG's like, you can be in there for an hour in one match and totally
waiting for people to die.
Yeah, and you're waiting. Yeah, it sucks. Okay. Apex is like, dude, if you're playing for 12 minutes, you're probably pretty close to winning. You know, like if you're 12 minutes in.
Right, you just pick it up and go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, I see TV going like that, mm-hmm. and obviously things like Adult Swim were the beginning of that, where yeah. you started having 12-minute episodes. But watching some of the stuff that's offering on, like, streaming services like Netflix, you start to see episodes that are 20 minutes long, or, you know, it's really rare, and I think it takes, like, a Game of Thrones or a Stranger Things or something that's almost event-based to justify a one-hour episode anymore. Yeah. And I think people, you know, they're eating lunch or they're eating dinner, and when they're done eating lunch or eating dinner, something that's going to keep them stationary, they're going to go off and they're going to go back to work, or they're going to go read or play a video game, or they're going to do something a little more active than eating dinner or watching TV. So I think that you're starting to see content that is a little more bite-sized, mainly for when people are forced to be
sure.
stationary when they're consuming food.
Yeah.
And I know that I watch Netflix in sections. Like, if there's a documentary or there's a one-hour piece of content on Netflix, I'm going to watch it in pieces
right.
because I'm mainly watching it when I sit down to eat breakfast
right.
or lunch or dinner. I think gaming is starting to get that same place mm-hmm. where I was telling you earlier, I'm maybe 20% into Red Dead 2. It is too dense.
Yeah.
It is too immersive. It's too, the area is too big, and this is a game I could not wait for.
Right. Yeah.
Because I loved that first one. Uh-huh. The first one was immersive and huge, and I 100%ed the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Now the second one comes around, and all the things I loved of the first one, I'm not into anymore. Yeah. I think we're being conditioned away from games like that, where it's like you're gonna pick it up 15 minutes later. If you need to go do something else, you can do something else. Yeah. But
that's true. That's true.
We're really working our way around, away from, like, giant
yeah.
titles that you're sitting there for hours to
yeah.
play.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, these streamers that you're in love with,
they're great.
After your lifeblood, that you're dependent on.
I need them.
Are doing 10-hour days.
Yeah, 10-hour. These pro streamers are working for 10 hours straight.
But of matches that are 12, 16 minutes long.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They've got to be insane.
They are. They are.
So every 6 to 15 minutes, of the 40 times a day, uh-huh. they're having a new match.
Uh-huh.
How do you not go insane?
I wish I knew. I don't stream for that long. I'll do 2 hours, and I'm like, that was good.
Because you did 8 matches.
Yeah, right. Yep.
You did 8 to 12 matches. Uh-huh. You're probably exhausted.
Yeah, I'm like, this is it.
These dudes are doing 5 times that
yeah.
and more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't.
No, I don't know how they do it. I respect it. I don't know.
And these are the people that you're working with.
Yeah. Hmm. Who we sponsor, yeah. You
know, Zydax sponsor. What do you, if you get Zydax sponsor, what do they need to do? Like, they have to tattoo it on their face? What do you need?
Well, that would be nice. We haven't done that yet. No, it's representing the brand. Like, you know, when people ask, hey, what do you use for your computer? Which a lot of people ask because they want the same yeah. equipment as the people they watch.
Because they want to take them down. They want to get rich on the
right.
internet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to get rich on the internet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What happened to the classics, like, you know, the traditional ways of getting rich,
like day pimping. Trading. Oh,
no, I'm talking old
We're
school.
Talking crime.
No, original profession.
Bootlegging.
Prostitution.
Prostitution.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking before any of this stuff. Yeah, no, we're making some real pre-medieval nice. On this shit. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
What happened to prostitution?
What happened to hooking?
I think it's still a very viable business.
Well, I see kids and they want to make money playing video games.
Yeah.
That isn't easy to do.
No.
But I think that, I'm not saying you're part of the problem. I'm not saying that
I
at all, Zach.
But I am.
I'm saying that these streamers and these influencers,
uh-huh.
who really only have about a 2-3 year window in popularity, if they're lucky,
yeah.
they are busting their asses for 10 hours a day
mm-hmm.
to be streamers, and only 0.0001% of them at best are going to get
True.
That.
Some of them are smart, though.
Yes, how are you smart? By being Zydax sponsored? Is that is another plug?
Yeah, that's smart. However, a lot of these guys are investing in businesses outside of streaming.
Energy drinks.
Energy drinks.
Jewel pods. Vaping.
This is my gaming Jewel pod, yeah.
Yeah.
But legitimate, they're creating businesses and brands around themselves and offering different products standalone.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, for instance, Darkness429, very popular Facebook streamer, invested in a coffee company. Like, you know, he's got a couple things that aren't directly tied to streaming, you know. They're just products, and he's building a totally separate brand. Because some of these guys will say, they're like, yeah, dude, I don't want to stream forever. That would suck. This is a gateway for me to build, you know, maybe I do videos, or like, you know, I can be a personality, or I can be a commentator, or I can...
That's all the same thing from what I just heard.
Yeah.
What I heard was,
but like,
I don't want to be a dancing monkey forever. Maybe I can be this kind of dancing monkey.
Oh, yeah.
The coffee thing sounds different.
No, yeah, like, but different businesses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can still have a show and, you know, be an entertainer or whatever.
Sure.
But streaming itself, because you're talking about a live thing. There's plenty of people who have been doing YouTube shows and creating clips and segments and all that. But you are literally... That's like making a 10-hour video every day.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. I don't want to do anything for 1 hour. It's hard enough to talk to you nerds for an hour. I don't want to... 10 hours. You know, my eyeball's melting. It just sounds bad.
Yeah. It's too long.
Too long. I can see why they do the energy drinks and vape.
Anything. You'll make Jewel pods if you got to do something for 10 hours straight.
I'll stab in my eyeballs. I will stab them
right
now.
I'll mainline Jewel pods.
I'll just mainline them. The spice must flow. Okay, so Zach, what are you most looking forward to this week?
Well, I heard there was going to be a new Splinter Cell, and then I just found out that they put the kibosh on that. They're not announcing it, so I have nothing to look forward to. You know what I am stoked about, though, that I just heard is there's going to be a new Microsoft Flight Simulator that's coming out. And I don't know about you, but anyone who's played Microsoft Flight Simulator, OG.
Is that the one where it's like really hard to land because you really had to be careful?
Yeah.
Because it was like exact how it was realistic?
Yeah.
You're just dying all the time?
Yeah. No, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Like in-air collisions were a lot of fun.
You're like, you think it's just going to be like a video game where you're like, oh, I'm playing Space Harrier or whatever it is. It's like, no, dude. You have to check the mechanics and the controls. This is about physics.
No. It just pull up, pull down. I like to weaponize my planes in flight sim, so I'm excited for many air.
You thought it was collisions. Battlefield. Yeah, this isn't Battlefield, sure. Fool.
Like, that's a Cessna. You're not doing anything.
Yeah, Battlefield, it's not the same. This is a simulator.
Yeah.
You will die. Really makes you appreciate airline pilots. Like, every time you touch the ground, you're like, oh, thank God.
I'm glad you know how to do
your job. Oh, my God, thank God, because I played Flight Simulator and everyone was murdered.
Yeah, my passengers never made it.
My passengers were meat. They're all just meat in a can flying at 10,000 feet.
100%.
No.
100%.
There's a new one of those coming out?
And it's beautiful. Like, there's a trailer that just came out.
I hope it's beautiful at this point.
Yeah, you would hope so.
I would hope they've made strides.
Yeah. The technology has fared well on the new flight simulator. It looks great.
Is there any news about a new Monkey Island game?
No.
Then fucking E3 can go to hell.
You're not interested?
Is there news on a brand new Grim Fandango?
Like, oh, wow. No?
Well, maybe next year. Bye, E3. Is Nintendo bringing back Amiibo?
Nope.
Okay, next year.
Next year.
Are they bringing back the Miis? No. Maybe next year, E3. I'm a pretty singularly focused audience member. I'm like, oh...
That's not what I want.
I want plastic toys.
Yeah.
And do I ever. Okay. Well, Zach, I'm going to give out your phone number so people can order directly from you on the website.
That would be great. Yeah, just have them text me, call me, whatever. I'm always up.
Geekscapist, if you want to get your custom gaming PC on the high end, look no further than Zydex. You can call Zach at, I'm kidding, you can go on the website. Yeah. There's a million customization options. Anything else you want to pimp besides Dope Tech, the brand new podcast you're going to listen to?
Dope Tech, for sure.
Okay.
DopeTechPodcast.com. Check it out. It's really good. A lot of fan talk. We talk about RPM speeds. You're going to love it.
I was like, oh, fan talk? Cool. That's what we do here. We talk about movies, video games, and comics. Like,
oh, actual fans. No.
Uh-huh. Oh, you talk about ceiling fans in a computer. May the Lord have mercy on your soul.
It's a riveting podcast. Please check it out.
You're having fun with it.
Yeah, it's fun.
You're having fun with it.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
People are listening.
Yeah, we got listeners.
Okay.
We get here and there.
Geekscapists, if you're into it, go over there, learning about the cooling systems on your PC.
Appreciate
okay?
it.
Okay? Yeah. We do have some PC gamers, so
beautiful.
Go for it.
Beautiful.
Geekscapists, you found it, Zydax.com. Get your PCs. We're at geekscape.net. We have a brand new website coming out this summer. We got Comic-Con coming up. Wow, next month we'll be at Comic-Con the entire time. Come get some brand new t-shirts. Come get whatever you want. We're going to have some cool signings at the booth that we're working on right now. It's going to be a thing. So if you want to catch up with us, there's a lot going on. Come by the booth. Zach did our new website, by the way. Just kidding.
It's got a couple problems.
Work them out. I can't download a podcast. Uh-oh. It's going to be a pretty cool site, but it's going to be really easy, by the way. We're going super simple on our new website because that's what everybody wants these days. That's what we want to do. We got a brand new website. We also have the brand new Xbox Game Pass show called Xbox Game Passengers. If you guys want to find out, there were some huge Microsoft announcements this at the E3. If you guys want to find out what to get with your brand new, super souped up Xbox Game Pass that they offered, just look no further than Mr. Derek Kranevelt. Every week he's taking on another Xbox Game Pass game and telling you all about whether or not you should play it or not. He's subjecting himself to it for you. So definitely go give that a subscribe. We've also obviously got the Overwatch League podcast, if you guys are into Overwatch and want to be up to date on all the competitive stuff going on there, and also have some pretty good insight on it. And I love my boys at the Horror Movie Night podcast. They're not very social. You know, they love sitting around and watching VHS movies and really, really bad VHS movies. But please go give them a subscribe and listen to those boys, because again, they're subjecting themselves to stuff, so you don't have to subject yourself to stuff. You just get to laugh. All right? And I'm Geekscape, so geekscape.net. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all that stuff. And we'll see you guys this summer. Hang tight for another Geekscape episode coming right down the pipe. So keep subscribing and sharing. Love you guys. Zach, any final words?
I built a new website. It's coming out. Geekscape. You're going to love it.
Over and out. Bye, Geekscapists.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.